Romancing the Dungeon is intended for mature audiences, as this show contains adult themes. But, like, not those kind of adult themes. Just some sensitive stuff that some audience members may find upsetting. Content warnings for specific episodes can be found in episode descriptions. You're listening to Romancing the Dungeon, a softcore D&D podcast about heroes navigating their daily lives while looking for love in a world full of peril, monsters, and heartbreakers.
We move outside the route and outside of the grove to the woods beyond and into the wilds. And Oisin, as you are on a late patrol with recruit Barry and Terry, you're looking at a particular patch of the wilds where the rot had taken hold. Trep, who helps map some of the areas, had said that he had felt that this was going to be another spot. Charts consulted by Aster revealed that, yeah, potentially there could be some activity here by the rot and its infestation. Terry and Barry are delightful, and for the last hour or so have been playing push the other in a hole and try and score points.
Yep.
There's a part of you that can't blame them. There's no one else around to see, so maybe it's time to maybe ease up on them for morale or something. Patter said something to that effect, but it's starting to kind of get grating. And just as you kind of find yourself on your last nerve, you hear a crunching sound from a little off to the east, a little beyond the path that ye are following, the perimeter of the wilds, about 3 miles from the grove.
Sort immediately out. I think Oisin is just going to look at Terry and Barry and just say, hey, lads, I'm going to park you here for a little bit. Perfect. Thank you. I'm going to park you here. I'm going to go check out what that noise was. It's most likely nothing. It might just be like an animal or something. When I get back, I'd say you're probably good to go. Enjoy yourselves. I think we have pretty much everything covered. But
potluck time, yeah. And they're both, and then they just like both punch each other in the opposite shoulder.
Don't do that.
Oh yeah, but it toughens us up. We get real tough, don't we, Barry? Barry's like, yeah, tough.
Terry, stop punching your brother.
I'm Barry.
Barry, stop punching your brother. Look at me. Do I look like I care?
And he. Bam! Okay. And then he bashes it. Got
him. Right.
Good one, Captain.
Thank you. Stay here, okay?
Yep, parked. And they both stand like completely like statues. I'm more parked than you were.
Okay, but also keep an eye out while you're parked. You can move, you know.
Oh, yeah. And they both just start turning their bodies very slowly like sentinels. Nothing to report, Captain.
Oisin just walks away like, yeah, okay, good job, lads. Keep it up.
Still nothing, Captain. We're not seeing... wait. No, that's a tree. God, Barry. You clamber up over a ditch and up onto a small kind of ledge. Mm-hmm. And as you kind of get a chance to survey, you do see the two of them still, like, as you left them, sort of like back to back, just sort of turning and surveying the spaces around them.
I think he just kind of thinks to himself, they'll be good guardians one day. Definitely not anytime soon, but they're on their way, I think.
Give me a perception check.
That's a 12.
Kind of looking, and it's dusk, and the sky is, again, we're in winter, so it's closer to darkness than it would be in kind of spring or summer. But there are a few kind of hues of orange and kind of purple in the sky that are kind of illuminating the space around you a little bit. And even with your eyes kind of adjusting to that, you don't see anything immediately.
Yeah, so I'll take out my lantern of revealing.
Okay. Holding it aloft, again, just a dim hue of kind of pale white and green light just sort of casting over the broken fallen trunks of trees, the rocks and mud of the wilds, something moves incredibly fast.
Yeah, I'm going to follow it.
Give me an athletics check.
Come on, Paladin. Be good at something physical.
Parkour.
24.
Nice.
Mm. As you kind of barrel down into just this sort of craggy terrain, your footing is uneven on all of it, but it doesn't matter because as you land, it's another bound of a step in front of you. And you can hear this thing chittering and scattering across the ground as you follow it. And it's one of those things that just as you get around the corner, you see it slip another way. And kind of keeping that chase up, it's only when you kind of, you almost lose your balance. On a 24, you won't, but it's that you feel a rock loose underfoot and you kind of stumble and come to a stop to catch yourself from kind of face planting. And just placing a hand on the rocky face of this wall, you've kind of found yourself traipsing through a kind of a shallow ravine carved into the soil here. There's just silence.
Come out. I know you're somewhere here. Don't play with me.
There is kind of a...
Tonight is not the night. Come on.
Fine. And you hear footsteps overhead, just sort of crisscrossing on stone. As the torch is kind of illuminating the space in front of you, casting your shadow forward, the light from overhead catches a second shadow and a rather long, slender frame stretches out across the rock face in front of you, and as you turn around, it's Lilith. She's standing there in this long white flowing gown, porcelain white skin, grey and silver hair, and just these deep, deep blue eyes. And from her, there is just this sort of, it looks like a haze or a mist just sort of emanating. And she kind of just smiles down at you with that kind of a sneer.
Lilith, hey, why are you running around? You know that this is a very important night. And I can't, you've taken me way too far away from the town limits. I can't be this far out. Is there anything you need?
No. Just bored. Very boring out here.
Do you want to go over to the Root? They have food.
Ugh. God, the Root. Ugh, those people. A patter. Ugh.
Captain's nice.
He was nice.
Are you okay, Lilith?
Yeah, I guess.
No, I don't believe you.
Well, you know me so well.
Go on, talk to me, girl.
I think it's just the ennui of eternal life is just sort of getting to me, Ushi. Like, is this it? Is this what I'm all about? Like, I'm the guardian of the grove. I'm just here. And like, no offense, you can see me. That's great. You're lovely. But you don't really come out this far into the wilds.
Yeah, I can.
The coolest part of the wilds, really, when you think about it. Like, where all the cool people hang out.
She kind of sits down in kind of a huff on the edge of the ravine, kind of looking down at you. And she just grabs like strands of her long hair and just starts like twirling it.
Do you want to see something fun that I planted over here?
Planted?
Yeah.
Oh, everything's a plant.
I mean, kind of, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, yay, plant, show me. Goodie.
He just goes to a corner of the ravine and just kind of shows a little strawberry bush that he's been tending to. Because she kept bringing him out here in the middle of nowhere. She was like, he may as well plant something. Offers her a strawberry. Do you want a snack?
And she picks it and she leans back a little bit and she kind of holds it over her head and she kind of starts to slowly kind of drop it in, like she's like almost like teasing it. And then as it kind of gets to her lips, she looks directly into your eyes, and it's just this really slow moment. And give me a wisdom saving throw.
Girl, why is
that? 19.
Oh, I'm off my game. And she like,
what game?
Nothing. And she just like, oh, and she just literally bites in, like, stem and all, the strawberry, and she eats it. There's a faint, faint energy of magic emanating from her.
I think Oisin probably has picked up on this before. Oisin is a warrior. He's not a scholar. He's not a mage. He knows some magic, but any magic that he does know is all related to social interaction and uplifting others. So I don't think that in this moment he would have the technical knowledge to do any sort of like big magic about it himself. But he definitely will try to do, he's tried it before, just a cursory little, see if he can, with his own innate magic, push that a little bit to see if he gets any bit more than he has last time.
Give me an arcana check. At advantage.
Oh. Oh, fuck, it's a minus one to arcana. 13?
You're not quite certain. It's that thing of, geez, Lilith exudes magic naturally from her. But when it's used, it's almost sort of, there's this, like a different hum of energy off of it. Like it's more of an active magic. You're not certain what the spell or incantation is, but you've felt it before. And sometimes it's stronger, almost as if it is about to take hold. And other times it's just kind of a passing through fog. But there's a definite sense of the magic was an attempt to allure or charm.
Well, she just kind of takes a knee, kneels down to where she's sitting down, and just says, hey, you know me. You've known me for a while. Your magic is incredible, and I respect it, and I don't understand it, and I don't presume to try to understand it. But your magic is very social. It's very, you know, you attract people to you. You're mysterious, you're cool, you have so much power.
Oh, go on. Oh, my God. Oh.
If you wanted all the praise, we could just bring you over to the root. Oh, it won't be all over you.
The root. Oh. Well, there's so many people there. And like, you know.
But imagine how fun it would be to give Nana Meadow Moon a run for her money.
Give me a persuasion check.
For fuck's sake. 13.
I do love messing with Felicity. Don't call her Felicity.
That's her name?
Don't! I didn't say anything.
I'm never going to forget that.
You, if you want to live, best forget that. Nana Medamoon is how you will address her. But it is always fun to play. You see a look on Lilith's face. What was sort of apathy or boredom, machine. There's now kind of just a complete 180, and there's just mischief. And she kind of puts a hand out to you. Okay, yeah, fine. We'll go to the roots. I'll shake some hands. I'll kiss some babies. Mess with Felicity.
I shouldn't go.
Why shouldn't you go?
Pretty much all the gardens have gone to provide some extra security just in case. I mean, we just had the first person ever break in here, so someone should stay out, keep doing the rounds, even to the places that we've already deemed safe.
Are you still talking about that Grace woman?
Yeah.
She's fine.
Yeah, I know, but I put her in, like, I made a cell. Was really fun. It's like I built a fence, but all the bars were really close together.
Give me a deception check on that. A disadvantage, please.
I can make sure that it was cool.
That bar.
That the bars were close together.
Well, that's a 4 on that one.
Yeah, Lilith kind of looks at you and it's very much a, you did. That's a lovely hand turkey you drew. And how close were the bars? Like, this close? This? No. She's just kind of smiling. You really don't have anything to worry about, Grace.
But with the rot and everything.
Well, the rot's not going anywhere.
And Captain retiring, I need to show people that I'm actually able, that I'm up for this, and I should be around here just making sure that it's safe.
Okay, this is just going to get really awkward, Oisin, so I'm just going to rip this band-aid off for both of us because I don't like surprises. So, Patter's retired from the Grove Guardians. You're now captain of the Grove Guardians. And so he's also going to retire from the leader of the Grove. That's the thing he talked about doing for a while. And he's going to make you the leader of the Grove, not his daughter.
What?
So I think we should definitely go there because that has to happen.
I'm going to pass out.
I mean, I could just have Bingle and Tingle bring you if that's the case.
Oh, Terry and Barry are great.
They are an adjective that you could use to possibly describe.
They're improving.
They're not.
It would be hard to go lower. Let's be honest here. Come on, they have to improve.
I mean, I literally watched them push each other into holes.
You saw that?
I.
Anyway, no, he can't make me the leader.
He can't make his daughter. She kind of turned her back on the whole thing. It's really awkward.
Yeah.
I've been a fly on that wall. Family dinner has been.
Do I have to go? Can't Patter and I just like have a talk after the whole thing and be like, hey, you're leader now.
Maybe you could like talk him into being like an interim leader until you feel up to the job. Because it's you or Trep.
Are we sure about that? Love Trep, lovely guy. I haven't seen him go a full 12 hours without falling into the river.
He loves that river.
We know where the river is. Like, I don't know how he keeps being surprised by it.
Well, look, between you and I, the river has a bit of a crush on Trep.
Aw, and well, that's cute.
It has a tendency to just, you know, weave its way at him.
Okay, that's kind of cute.
It is.
Yeah.
He just doesn't, he seems oblivious to it. And to be honest, the river feels like it's getting the cold shoulder. Like it's being ignored, it's unrequited love. It's very upsetting.
See, this is why you should definitely go to the root and talk about all this.
Okay, I'm going to go. And you see her kind of stop for a second. She's just, it's almost like she, like something kind of, and you've seen her react this way before, Oisin. So Barry and Terry are able to defend themselves, right? They know how to use like a, stick.
Yeah, they can fight. They're strong. One of them is. Yeah, one's strong and one's fast, so.
Great, well maybe the fast one can outrun. You need to go back. You need to go back now.
He doesn't even wait for anything, he just sprints out of there.
And she kind of turns as you run past her, and you just kind of feel like her hands kind of glide across you, and it is nothing, it's just the wind picks up around you as you do, and you literally see the ravine clear itself for you. Like there isn't an astray rock or boulder. Like the trees themselves actually bend, roots sink further. Your path is clear. As you run back, you hear a roar of pain, and you just hear Barry call out. Like he just roars, Terry, no. And as you make it to the edge of the ravine, looking down, you see that the pair are surrounded by shadow elementals. Give me an initiative roll.
Yeah, I was in that one on my initiative roll.
Oisin, as you come on the scene of Barry and Terry surrounded by shadow elementals, sword in hand, it's that thing of what do I do? What do I do? You don't know what you were expecting. Possibly one of them upside down in a hole or with a broken arm at worst. Not
this.
They are literally encircled by these elementals. As you stare down trying to figure out what your action is, one just under the ravine, a tendril of shadow whips out from its neck. 15 to hit.
Oh, no.
Okay. It almost, you just see like a part of it just kind of tear itself away. And it reaches out, and as it does, you see that any of the roots exposed from the fallen tree trunk, any of the grass, they just wither and die as the shadow gets closer to them. You step back just in time. Barry and Terry are kind of up on their feet, and again, back to back, both take lunges with their spears. Oh, Barry and Terry. Oh, come on, oh no, no, beats it. Barry and Terry can do this, surprisingly. They lunge forward with spears. And again, it's a move, Oisin, that ye have practiced and trained a couple of times. It's a lunge and a swipe. And both of them go in the opposite direction of each other as they try to take out kind of an arc in front of them. You see one or two of the elementals recoil. None look so hurt that they are diminished in any shape or form. And as they do this, you see that the shadow elementals are using the darkness as sort of cover or masking themselves, kind of hiding themselves amongst it. And you actually watch as the darkness kind of pulls away. And as they do, three elementals lunge at the twins. Oh, 25 to hit. Two of the elementals just completely swarm Terry. And when he kind of goes to duck from one attack, the other just kind of lunges forward and the shadows stick to him and pull. He lets out a howl of pain as he kind of crumples to his knees, and then the other one immediately attacks and just sort of washes over him, kind of pulling at the armor. Barry kind of turns in defense, and when he goes to do that, he's lost his hold on the other, and it just kind of snatches straight forward, shadow-like claws just rifing the tendrils and pulling at his flesh. Once the shadows have them down, they don't relinquish. They flit and tear over the twins, pulling at their fur, pulling at their skin, and just lashing out with these inky tendrils of darkness, slapping and beating them. And you see that both the Hrongin are on the ground, just getting wailed on by these shadow elementals. Terry is unconscious. Barry is still kind of standing, but he's like holding himself up against it, but he's now trying to shield Terry's body as the shadow elementals are atop him. It is your action.
Okay. Mr. DM, I have a real quick question.
Yeah.
Do these shadow elementals count as fey or fiends, and or?
They don't, I'm afraid.
All right. Well, there goes that plan. How many of the elementals are there?
Three. You've seen three attack the twins.
Okay. It ain't too bad. I'm gonna one attack throw. Yeah, I'm gonna go to whichever one is closest to Terry because Terry's down.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna try to position myself in between the one that attacked Terry just to be a bit of a shield. And I'm just gonna make an attack on it.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. I could smite, but I don't know what you're gonna do to me later. I don't have that many spell slots, man.
You can decide if you're smiting on hit. You don't have to decide smite. You can also decide how much you care about Terry. Like,
true.
I mean, who even is Terry?
Yeah. He's not Barry.
Why is Terry?
That's a 12 to hit.
12 misses. Any bonus actions?
No, nothing is a bonus action. I think I'm just going to park myself and just start screaming at them and just say, get the hell away from my soldiers.
As you kind of leap down off of that ledge into the fray between Terry and the shadow elementals, you do see that they twist and sort of recoil up around, and they don't move away for you to be able to provoke opportunity, but they hold their own, and as you kind of swing, they sort of like just kind of almost lunge backwards. And again, these are movements from the rot that you've seen before. They learn and they adapt. And as you slash out with your sword, it feels like you've cut something, but you just slice through air.
Could I actually ask?
Yeah.
Do I still have any movement speed left?
Yes, yeah. We'll say half.
Okay. Right. 15 feet isn't the most, but I might be able to get something done. Because I'm a furbog, I have powerful build, which means that I have double the carrying capacity.
Okay.
How likely is it that I could just get Terry? Put him on my back, look at Barry and say, run, get away, get help, and try to start running with them.
Barry looks at you and he sees the shape that Terry's in. He kind of looks around, kind of holding the spear. Captain, I can't leave you and my brother behind as he sees you kind of scooping up Terry.
Do you want to carry him?
He kind of like just swings out one of the shadow elementals. He is going to take the disengage action, if that's the order, like to run.
Yeah.
And then he's going to book it. Like he's going to run in the direction of the grove. And that is Barry's action. That's his full action, is to disengage. And you see him just sort of like, just sort of spear tucked under his arm. He does a full swipe against the shadow elemental. It's kind of clearing a break for it. And he uses that opportunity to just run. And as he does, he just shouts over his shoulder, "Captain, come on!" And he's just running. It's
perfect.
Shadow Elementals. What is your AC?
My AC is 18.
Okay. That's a 23 to hit.
Ah, come on now.
26 and a 19.
Oh, jeez. Three hits. Did I say 18? I meant 28. I'm in a million.
The forest protects me. It gives me loads of AC.
If there are any attacks that are going Terry's way, even though he is unconscious, let me know, because I will try to intercept those attacks.
Okay.
How many dice are you rolling?
Too many.
They do a load of damage.
That's a worrisome sound.
No, they don't.
It's the first time we've played this game. I've never played this game before.
It's my first scene. Everyone got happy. Oh,
Wail on the new guy.
No. She's a little bit cabby, isn't she? Apollo, die. I'm joking. I love
these. These cakes are a little dry. This is the worst day ever.
Barry, no! Tell Mom I love her.
Your muffins could have used a little bit more, time in the oven, maybe. I'm gonna die.
I never got to tell Trip how I feel about him. You suck.
That's so Barry and Terry core.
Are you taking the damage for Terry? Like, is that?
Yeah. So, do you want me to read you what interception
yes.
is?
Yeah.
So, my fighting style is interception, which when a creature you can see hits a target other than you within 5 feet of you. So he's on my back, so within 5 feet of me. You can use your reaction to reduce the damage the target takes by 1d8 plus 3. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay, so roll a d8, because I'm going to let you do this.
That is a 6.
Plus the 3.
Yeah, so
9. So Ushing takes 32 points of bludgeoning damage.
Fair enough.
Excuse me?
That's all three of them, though. That's the guy
who rolled. Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
No, okay.
Order in the D&D court.
Thanks, Dr. Bird.
Dr. Bird.
They call me Dr. Bird.
Ushin, it's now surrounded by the Shadow Elementals, and with Terry kind of on your back, sword in hand, you watch as one kind of rushes forward. You turn just as it reaches out for Terry just to tear him away. Bringing your sword up, its claws meets the edges of your blade and it recoils. And in that moment, the other two see their opening on you and they just wail on you straight away.
Fair enough.
Your action.
Okay.
I'll do it. Fine.
Oh no! I hate that!
Fine.
Mystery roll.
No, I know what it is. I think I know what it is.
Thank you, TikTok.
No, I know. I know what it is.
For those of you that don't know what it is, I will be rolling death saves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Terry or Barry, whichever one's on his.
Terry.
Terry.
Oh, I'll be doing yours as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
I hate you so much for that.
There are more guardians over in the roof.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm one help.
NPCs work.
Hey, it's one against three, and I have a dying man on my back. I'm struggling.
Do it.
How far away are we from the root?
From the actual grove itself, are the bones of about 3 miles away.
Well, that's initiative won't cover that.
30 feet, that's the same.
Right.
How loud can you scream?
I'm pretty. Okay, I can't take another 32 damage. Yeah, so I'm gonna attack one of them.
Okay.
I'll take that attack. Because, see, I can't turn them. And I don't want to risk them beating my saving throws for being restrained. My best bet is to just try smack them.
They might be like bears. Just leave like a terrier berry behind. Like, you'll be got plenty ripped.
Just rip off of it.
Not helping.
It's like a breadcrumb.
Right. That is a 16 to hit.
Hits, yep.
Perfect. On this, I am going to put... I can't put on a Thunderous Smite and a Divine Smite, can I?
If you use your bonus action to use Thunderous Smite, you
can. Yep.
Perfect. I'm gonna do that.
Okay.
So I'm going to use a spell slot and an extra 2d8 radiant to this.
It'll be two spell slots because you're using one spell and then one Divine Smite. Well, that's the only trade-off.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, so it does cost two spell slots to do both.
God, I have three spell slots.
Use them or die.
I mean, you could
well,
save them
I might
for...
fully die. One of the little cakes that they have there, will this give me a rest?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually baked a long time rest time cake.
Time. A long rest cake.
I get to the grove, I immediately take a nap. the situation is dire enough. I'm not about to let Terry die here.
You can use one of your warlock spell slots for smite, and you recover them on a short rest, I believe.
Lovely.
I think.
So I'm going to drop a divine smite on this attack also.
Okay.
And then I will do a thunderous smite. So the whichever one is closest to me.
Yeah.
Will take the weapon damage. Son of a bitch. Sorry.
It's me a lot of dice.
Roll better. Sorry. So that's just going to be 8 slashing damage plus
2d6. 2d8 for smite, and thundering smite is something else.
2d6.
Yeah.
So then it'll be...
It's a few dice.
It's a few. 9 radiant damage, and oh, like absolute dog shit. 4 thunder damage. Do the elementals count as creatures? Please.
What else would they be?
If the target is a creature, it must succeed on
yes,
strength saving throw or be pushed 10 feet away from you and knocked prone.
Let me knock one down.
Our elementals will tell. Google will tell us.
Also, the thunder is audible within 300 feet of you.
Yeah, the thunder is audible.
Yep.
Can I clap them cheeks? Can I make my thunder be me shouting?
Yes. Can you hear your voice? I'm gonna say, doesn't elemental count as a creature? Is a type of creature describing a sentient being? It does say creature type. So yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. That elemental needs to make a strength saving throw. Which is a 15. DC 15.
Five, so no.
It gets pushed away 10 feet and is knocked prone.
Okay.
And the thunder that can be heard 300 feet from me, which I don't know if that's enough miles. I don't even know if that is a mile.
What is that miles? Is that even a... That's not
I don't even think
don't do the math. Let's just assume that it is.
Did I say 3 miles? I said 300 feet away.
300 feet is quite a lot of traps.
Yeah.
Math makes me sweat.
Yeah.
It's only 90 meters, so 90-ish meters.
So it's point.
It's like 0.05 of a mile.
Okay.
And how far away is the route?
3 miles,
which is roughly 1,000
Is there?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was about to say, is there anyone in the route who's got?
You have like a 20.
You got massive ears. You should be able to hear shit.
Yeah, but they're just full of dirt from being dragged on the ground and full of water, water clogged.
Full of insults.
Yeah.
Full of insults.
I mean, so, Nana's looking for you.
as you go and get a chip from the middle. Nana's looking for you. Jesus.
She could magically find you.
So, finding yourself in the situation, Oisin, it is one of those things where you now just take everything that you have and you throw it at the elementals.
Yeah, and having done that, then I just, if I have any movement left, I'm just going to keep bolting.
Okay.
30 feet away.
As your blade connects with the elemental and just this, your voice booms across the wilds, you feel the trees actually shudder. You feel the ground shake. Not in a way you've ever felt with thunderous smite. This is something else. And in the distance, where you send that shadow elemental flying, like you send it back, like it's knocked back, and as you go to, it's that thing of you watch as it just gets slammed backwards, and as you're about to turn and run, you see something glowing in the distance, about 80 feet away, and it's an intense light that seems to be getting brighter. And then out of nowhere, you just feel two hands on your shoulders pulling you down, like pulling you straight down. And you come face to face with a Shader Kai elf, a man. Get down.
Fuck.
And
duck.
A scorching ray just blasts through the tree line and just splinters into three, striking the shadow elementals. They recoil in agony. There's just this intense heat overhead, Oisin, as you are dragged down and you come face to face with this sort of grey, purple-skinned elf, jet black eyes, and just this crop of pink curls pulled back into a faux hawk. And he smiles at you as he reaches down to his side, and you just, overhead, it's just flames. As the shadow elementals burn, he stands up and spins with his weapons.
While he's spinning away, I'll just say, I need to heal my man. Are you? Not my man. That sounds weird.
My man.
Hey, my man. Thank you to my man.
Yep.
I need to heal my soldier. Can you hold him off for just a couple seconds?
He kind of stands up, and you see, like, as you kind of look up at him, you see that the perimeter around you is on fire, like it's burning. Parts, like some of the trees are on fire, the ground is scorched, and the shadows are, from that light, they are being kind of forced, they're taking a shape, and there is only three of them, this area illuminated. He kind of looks down at you, and he takes a step back. And as he does, you see what looks like a version of him made of smoke standing in his space. And he just says, take your time. And he lunges out. And as he does, the echo of him lunges as well. And they start...
The what now?
Sorry, the what? What's
going on? Oh my god, an echo now?
Him and the echo start hacking into the shadows.
That's pretty cool. Oisin is like, this is the worst case scenario. This is exactly what I thought would happen. I got distracted, walked too far away from the grove. Now, there are demons and people that I've never seen before that shouldn't be this close to the grove, and my men are dying. This is the worst case scenario. I knew it.
You want a medicine check on Terry?
Not even lay on hands.
Oh, lay on hands. Oh, okay, yeah, sure. You just have to, Put one
into I give him like a solid five.
Okay.
Like, can you run?
Like Terry just brings up.
Terry, look at me. Look at anything.
I saw my life flash before my eyes.
It was boring, I know. Look at me.
No, there was just a lot of burying and Trep. What was Trep doing there?
He's a very lovely man. I need you to run home.
And he gets up and he is kind of, and he's looking at what's around him, and he points at the guy, the elf, and the other. Who?
I don't know. We'll ask later. You need to get back to the grove. Get them to send help.
Okay.
We need more of the guardians.
Oh, yeah. I'll get guardians. And he runs, and then, oh, no. And he was running the wrong direction.
That's
the
wrong direction, man.
No, I know. I'm sorry. And
180.
He does 180, and he runs towards the grove. As Terry limps and rushes. You find yourself standing in the middle of a fight between this elven man, dressed again all in black, a rapier in one hand and a short sword in the other. He looks to be even barely breaking sweat as he slashes out at the shadows. As you're trying to make sense of what's happening, you see a woman walking through the forest towards you. She's this long gown that seems to be almost burning. Long hair that seems to sort of almost smoke. And at the tips of her fingers, there's just flames just sort of flittering in and out, extinguishing and illuminating. I'm very sorry, And she kind of gestures at the space around you.
Well, don't apologize. I'd say it's okay. It's not. Can you help dispatch of them? I haven't been doing a real good job at it, to be honest.
She kind of looks at the guy. You see him nod, and she smiles. Very well. And she just... Again, she just brings her hands together in front of her. It is... you went... Very Terry. Shadows. Then it'll be you and then these two. Weirdos. Shane's
night. I have so many questions for these people, but I'm like, hey, they're fighting the shadows. We're good for now.
That is not going to hit either... Quillo or the echo. There's something about the speed at which this man is moving, or the echo. When you watch Oisin as one of the elementals just lunges at him, just these tendrils of shadows whipping and slashing into the earth. And where he stood for a moment, his echo is now in its place, and the echo is just erupts into smoke. He's standing there again, both blades drawn. He's kind of like almost shoulder to shoulder with you, and he smiles at you. The name is Quillo. Apologies for the introduction. This is no way to meet.
My name is Oisin. Lovely to meet you. We need to kill these guys. Are there more?
Of these?
Do you know if there are more?
Sweetheart. And he kind of gestures over at the woman. This is Oisin. Oisin, this is my wife, Sekhmet Isidrun. And...
Lovely to meet you.
There are no more, and her hands open up as she casts Burning Hands.
Queen.
At the remaining, or the three shadow elementals in front of her. Come on, Sekhmet.
That's a badass name.
Yeah. Based off the Egyptian goddess, is it?
Yeah.
That's another one, chat. No, it's not. Well, no, it's enough to obliterate two of them. Her hands open up, and there's just this funnel of an inferno that just like rolls out from her. Two of the elementals are just burnt into nothing. One skivers across the ground, just sort of floating away like literally like a shadow trying to escape the light's blast. It's burnt at the edges and it just flits through. As it does, it passes Quillo. It'll actually pass you as well, Oisin, if you want to take attack of opportunity on it.
Oh yeah, please.
That is an 18 for Quillo to hit.
That shadow.
That is a 21 to hit for me also.
That's going to hit. Yeah, you can roll your damage.
Better. 5 bludgeoning, 10, 5, 6, 7, 8 bludgeoning, 10 thunder for me.
As Quillo lunges out with the rapier, kind of half expecting to finish it off, you see him pierce and almost pin it like you would a rag. How does Oisin finish the shadow elemental off?
Now that he's not carrying Terry, he takes out his long sword, two hands, and it's just... I know it sounded innuendo. I'm so sorry. Now that he's not carrying Terry.
Definitely said finish him off so many times.
Finish him off so he takes his two hands to finish him off.
With his long sword, two hands.
Pulls out his long sword, two hands.
She was fighting for her life over here.
It's fine. Grace Stormfield, you're a lady.
She's just like...
And not of the lake.
She was just like, I have to eat some tofu to stop myself from laughing right now. Please.
Like my eyes are actually watering.
Now that Terry's gone... gets the long sword two-handed, just big arc, brings it down onto the shadow elemental. As the blade goes in, he wants to... His intention is just to be like a very cool guy whisperer, but just ends up shouting, "Stay away from my home!"
The shadow is just obliterated. Like, it's torn to shreds as your voice just booms outwards. there's nothing left here in this ruin, in this space, except you, the Shader Kai elf, and the Fire Ganassi. And she just sort of, you see her kind of tuck her hair kind of back, and she kind of ties it up a small bit. We're looking for the grove.
I appreciate your help. Thank you so much, because my men were about to die. I was probably going to die. So thank you for helping me dispatch of the well, thank you for dispatching of the elementals. Let's be honest, you did most of the heavy lifting here. I don't know you, and I want you to just understand that I would be doing a disservice to my station to just walk you in. Thank you for your help, but I don't necessarily trust you yet.
She looks to the elven man, and he kind of looks back at her, and they kind of seem to just, without saying anything. There won't be a grove tomorrow.
With how much certainty do you say this?
You and your people have been fighting the rot.
Yeah.
How far beyond the wilds have you ever traveled?
This is as far as I'll go, usually. I asked the question.
There's nothing left out there. The rot is winning. You're failing. You have failed. There's no other way to say that. I'm sorry.
Whatever's out there is not my responsibility. My responsibility is the grove. With what certainty do you say, do you speak, that if I don't let you into my most sacred home, it won't be there anymore? Because I don't give a shit about anything outside. Only problems come from outside.
Has Clodagh Metamoon returned?
He just gives it, doesn't even say anything, just the angry smirk of, fucking course her name was going to show up in this conversation. Yeah.
You see the Ganassi woman kind of just kind of step forward and kind of put herself between you and Quillo. Ashim, my husband and I have traveled as much as we can through your lands. We know of the grove, and we know of the magics that sustain it. That magic is dying.
You know Clodagh? Does Clodagh know you? Would she be able to vouch for you?
Clodagh knows my sister. She would know of me. She would know of my husband's sister as well.
Okay. I think I'd like to do some sort of insight check or something.
Yep.
Because I don't want this to become an interrogation. If what they're saying is true, I don't want to postpone this, but yep. I also don't want to rush into letting people in.
Yep. Give me a...
Okay, you're going into the dice, Joe. insight. That's just an 11 insight.
She mentioned Clodagh by name. She might have met Clodagh on her travels. Clodagh might have said something about the grove. You don't know. But the urgency with which she speaks about the rot and the dying of the magic, that hits you in a place that doesn't feel nice. It's a surprise and it's an alarm. If the grove is in danger, then is it not your duty to protect it?
Yep, I think Oshin just looks at them and says, okay, I'll bring you in. Stay close to me. I thank you and I appreciate you. I'm still not there yet, so just stay close to me.
lead the way. And Sekhmet takes Quillo's hand.
Yeah, I lead them straight back. We're not walking, we're not... I'm not fully sprinting, but yep. it's a hurried power walk jog.
As you pick up the pace and they're following, he seems to move pretty deftly on his feet. With him kind of leading her, she's navigating as well. As you, Oisin, are making your way back towards the grove and the route, the gala, you occasionally see Lilith. Just sort of as if like she is following. She's not approaching, but she is following.
You've been listening to Romancing the Dungeon, Grove is in the Heart, with Eilish, Ben, Tendai, Dai, and Apollo. I'm Declan, and I've been your Dungeon Master. Since this special started, I've been so excited for you all to get to meet Apollo's character, Oisin Metamoon, and just to get to play around in the world of the Grove, Galeshire, and Arcanum as a whole has been such a treat for me. I hope you've enjoyed what you've heard so far, and ready yourselves, because it's only just starting now. We're back in 2 weeks' time for the next episode, and if that feels just a little bit too long, then do make sure you check us out on social media, on all the big platforms at D8 Dungeon. You can check out our Twitch channel at twitch.tv/D8Dungeon for all the other shows that we are producing and putting out into the world, including Random DMs, Beyond Horizon's Edge, Ben and Declan on a Roll, and there's a new series coming out in a couple of weeks. It's a thing. There's a whole thing coming, and I'm excited to get into that once again. Until then, I am going to love you, leave you, say goodbye, and wish you well. And we will see you in 2 weeks' time.
Every time. My life partner, Sekhmet
Tendai.
I literally wrote my name in brackets. My lad.
Every time. I wrote